What's happening, all my ODs and future ODs out there? This is the Ultimate OD Podcast. Today, you're going to get three things I took away from the lockdown, a review of Melton, Thomas, and Vollmer's clinical perspectives on patient care, and we're going to take a little journey down memory lane as I am on my quest to find my niche in optometry.
Welcome to Optometry, the Ultimate OD Podcast, building better doctors one episode at a time. Here's your host, optometrist and practice owner, Dr. Nick Lilly.
All right, everyone. Dr. Nick Lilly here with the Ultimate OD Podcast. We're going to start off right now. Basically, everyone knows that 2020 is supposed to be the year of the optometrist, the year of the OD, eye care. And it's been a crap sandwich. It's been so out of left field. I don't want to be one of those podcasts or resources where we just talk about COVID. But I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't at least address it in episode one. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about what I learned from lockdown. I don't think it's going to be your normal COVID post or podcast, but more a reflection of what did I learn and what am I going to take from this. I think everyone would benefit from that. So to get into it, one of my favorite things that I say in life is without pain, you do not grow. Now I say that to my wife, my kids, my office manager more often than not, and they roll their eyes, almost look a little pained to hear me say that, and then ask me, so what are we going to do next? Well, from that, we've went through a ton of pain. End of March, we got hit with this coronavirus bomb, and we didn't know what to do. So basically, end of March, April, we shut down, and that gave me a lot of time to just take inventory of what I was doing, what my priorities were, what life had in store, and I have a million things I'm trying to do. We were going 99 miles an hour, just flying down, being very successful. I think everyone, every practice was being successful. And we got hit with this bomb. And all I could think of is, am I going to be able to keep my house? Am I going to be able to keep the office open? What about my staff? How do I take care of them? It was just so much. So through that, though, three things kind of came out in my mind that I think everyone should do. Or should have taken, and it will benefit us all. I don't care what industry you're in. If you are an optometrist, if you're going to be an optometrist, listen to these facts in my mind, and let's see if we can all grow from it. The first thing I want you to know is we matter. Oh my goodness. Like, we all know that we're in a profession where you can help people, you give them sight, but at the end of the day, do you always wonder, like, or how important are we? If this happens, if we lose all our patients for a month, are they ever going to come back? Is their priority going to be on eye care? Do they have more important things? Where do we fall in that spectrum? And if you were open during that time, I was, we matter. So we were open 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, and we were seeing emergency patients or taking calls, getting people orders. And my goodness, how thankful they were if they could get in touch with us, if they could order contacts, or if they had a red eye, an infection, or whatnot. Especially in this time, to be able to get in and see us, everyone was absolutely grateful, thankful. I got so many thank yous for being open. And on my end, I was just happy to be there and seeing patients again. Like, hey, we matter. We made a difference. So we matter to patients. I hope you all realize how much patients matter to us. I say that because we all know the headaches we have. Someone that comes in a million times to get an RX check, you told them not to get glasses, they have cataracts, but they just want a new frame and lens, but the prescription's not right, they think they should see better, can you increase the power? And, you know, before this happened, we might have treated them way differently. Right now, I love Mr. Jones who comes in and does that, or Mr. Headache, whatever you want to call them, but those patients, they're my patients, and I like that I can take care of them. So that was an awesome realization. The other thing I think surprised me a little bit is with the managed care, with the way optometry is constantly fighting the battle to say, how do we get treated fairly for our services? We get paid X amount for an exam when we're worth this amount in our minds, right? Well, I think it became quite clear to vision insurance plans, to frame vendors, to our labs, to equipment manufacturers, that we matter to them. We, at the end of the day, are the gatekeepers for them to get their stuff out there. If we're not here, if we're not in business, they don't have anyone to do their hands and feet. They can't get stuff out there. So especially contact lens reps, they've been amazing because contact lenses are still booming regardless of the of this lockdown. Frame reps have been awesome to work with. They're getting hit hard because there's a bunch of back orders and stuff, but they're still working with us. Labs, bless their hearts, they stayed open during this, and we're getting people glasses that needed them. Something I think we should take away from this, if you're in this moment, is remember, if you need equipment, if you need something from frame reps, now is the time that we have ultimate leverage. So reach out to them, say, this is what I'm looking for. How can you help me? You might get, if you are lucky enough to have cash in reserve, take advantage, try and get some equipment at a deal. They're trying to make sales because they don't know if we're coming back either. Just like we didn't know if patients were coming back, these reps, these vendors, don't know if we're coming back. What's important to us? What are we going to focus on, right? So take advantage of that. Another thing I think is when everything was going great, I think a lot of people were fat and happy. And when I say that, it's not just optometry, every business. We had more employees than we probably needed. We're doing a few things, maybe taking on leases we shouldn't, taking on equipment we shouldn't, or doing things that might have not been the best for business purposes, but they worked, they were doing fine, and there was no really impetus to stop it. Well, when this hit, things got real, real fast. Every industry you see is cutting the fat. When I'll use newspapers, for example. They had 10 sports writers for following the Detroit Lions, right? That's going down. That sports section is going down to 5 people, maybe 4. And know what? Those other people aren't coming back. So I say we should take this time to simplify as much as we can. Like I said, at our office, we're open 4 days a week, 4 hours a day, and we were still doing business. It was crazy how much we did considering how little we were open. And as we've hit May, June, July, we've slowly expanded, but we're in this bubble where one exposure, one, you know, patient that comes in and has it, and we're out 3 employees, we're out 1 employee. We don't know what happens outside the office, what they're going to get exposed to, so you can't overextend yourself. And then for patient safety and healthcare, we have to downschedule. So we have to make sure whatever we are doing is the most profitable and efficient for our office. So take a look at your hours. Take a look at your staffing. What are you doing to make sure that you're as efficient as possible? Something that our office is doing, we extend our evenings. We cut back some of our mornings because evenings are obviously busier than the mornings. We also are staffing with the maximum amount of staff that I need to be efficient, but not overstaffing. So we're running lean and mean. Some of the back-end things that they used to be doing are getting cut, and I'm having my staff focus on the core of what they do. The back-end, I'll figure out later, but right now, let's take care of our patients, take care of what keeps us alive, and then move on from there. So focus on the things that are important to you. If you're big into disease, you have a lot of cataracts patients, macular degeneration, glaucoma, make that a priority. If you do a lot of glasses and contacts, don't be dabbling in the things that don't matter. Make sure the people that need exams get them and prioritize what's important. So that means the younger patients 12 and under, you double book, or they don't have your prime evening spots. You know what makes your office tick, and if you don't, you better figure it out fast because that's going to keep you alive during this time. Because guess what? The roller coaster is not over. We still have things coming down the line, and if you can't be efficient and make the choices you have to make now, you're just prolonging the hurt. So make the decisions now. Set yourself up for success. The other thing that I've noticed through this is if you look at who comes in, we have glasses patients and contact lens patients. All right. Obviously, we have red eyes. We have our disease patients that we're following and such. But let's take a look at our basic refractions. We have glasses and contacts. We know that the glasses patients probably have a higher ticket. They might get multiple pairs. We do everything we can to make their life awesome. They make your day good and real fast. But guess what? During the pandemic, they already have glasses. They have extra pairs of glasses. They can make it work. The people that were beating down my door, that were fighting to get in, were my contact lens patients. They're loyal. They come back more often, on average about every 18 months versus, we'll say, 3 years. You can look at the stats. It might be different, but I'll say 18 months to 3 years. So we get to squeeze that orange a few more times every 3 years with a contact lens patient than we do with a glasses patient. Are you exposing every patient we have that we see to contacts? Now, I know there's some initial concern. Do I want to be doing INRs? Do I want to expose my patients to contacts? If you read the CDC recommendations, all the stuff that's been put out, contact lenses are safe if you do things right. So just make sure you follow the recommendations, have everything clean, teach them how to handle their lenses, but contact lenses are safe. And in this era of masks, glasses are not your friend. Contacts are. And if you look at them, the crazy thing is, without contacts, these people are ripped their last pair. They're not functional. How are they going to get through life? They need us. So make sure you make contact lenses a priority. Take a step back and see how can you make them feel more valuable in your office. Are you catering to their needs? With this ship to patient thing that we got going on, all the vendors are giving free shipping. Are you making yourself convenient for them? And that means online orders. Do you have your website set up so they can order online? If not, 1-800-CONTACTS does. So even if you're not open, if you have limited hours, they have to have a way to communicate with you that they need contacts. Even if it's an email, find a way, though, to make yourself more available and take care of these patients. Those are three things that I took from this. I hope you did, too. If not, take them now. Run with it. Make your office better tomorrow. All right, my friends, now we're going to look at the literature. So I'm going to give you a brief review from me about Clinical Perspectives on Patient Care by Milton, Thomas, and Vollmer. Again, I think this is a really good pamphlet they put out. It gives you a lot of insight, good, relevant stuff. But I want to give it to you from a perspective of a private practice owner. So my biggest critique on it, one, I'm a big fan of glasses and contacts. I know it's what we do. It's not fancy for a lot of professional like clinicians that are academics or work in medical settings, but glasses and contacts are bread and butter. I don't poo-poo that. They kind of do, but again, I kind of get why they're trying to do it. They want us to be better at medical optometry, which we should, but from a business owner perspective, don't forget that we do glasses and contacts. Now, another thing about them is I kind of just alluded to it, but I don't think they're very business-oriented. One of the things they talk about very robustly, and they've talked about this since I've watched them, is that you should wear a lab coat and you should be very professional in how you act. I don't disagree with that, but I want you to remember that your medical office, your optometry portion of the visit is different from your retail portion of the visit. So make sure that your optical is not under the same influence as your optometry practice. And what I mean is when you go into optical, you want them to feel like they're going to spend money, like they're going into Lens Crafters, they're going into Pearle Vision, going into Tiffany's, going into Macy's. Make it more appealing, marketing, merchandising. Make it appealing for the patient from a consumer perspective. Now, when you go into the optometry lane, I don't care what you do. Be a great doctor. Have the most fancy gadgets and gizmos. But don't do that when you go into the retail setting in the same context. Be more retail oriented versus medically oriented. Another thing that they talk about is blue light. All right, I get it. You may not have the actual hard and fast peer-reviewed literature of blue light glasses. But here's the thing. Patients are aware of blue light from devices. It's a very hot topic. They want some kind of help. If you feel you don't want to say get blue light glasses because you don't know where they stand, throw in an anti-fatigue lens. The Eisen is a great lens. It gives a aspheric design, so it helps them when they're focusing and studying up close. This gives you both the blue light filter, which you may not believe in, but they want, and the anti-fatigue portion, which is going to help them out more than anything else. So blue light filters, blue light lenses, I think are part of what we do. Don't discard it because the patient wants it. You have to cater to the patient. Another thing is when I'm working with my patients in my office, copays, finances, they're a big deal. So when they talk about loperidone, Xylet, they're great drugs from a clinical perspective, but I find they're very expensive. They talk about getting coupons in the book. If that's the case, go ahead and do it. But don't forget that you can give the best treatment, the best by the book answer. But if they can't afford it, you're not doing them a service. You're not being a good doctor for them. They have to be able to afford treatment to make you a good doctor. So make sure you consider cost. The last thing I'll say on that is they talk about diabetic exams. There's a big argument from time to time. Do we bill managed care or do we bill the diabetic exam through their medical insurance? I say this, do what's best for the patient. If you do what's best for the patient, you're going to get taken care of in the long run. Sometimes you do what's best for you because this is what you read in a magazine, you read in a book, I should bill this medically. But if the patient doesn't agree, if they don't understand, and again, this is a gray area, they may not come back to you. Okay. Now there's certain times when they come in with their managed care and they have a red eye, they have a corneal ulcer. I get it. Don't build their managed care plan for that. But a diabetic exam when they're also getting glasses is a gray area. Do what's best for the patient. Now, some things I took away from it that I will apply to my office is in emergency care settings, we do a better job than urgent care, better than the ER. So being available for the patient is incredibly important. However, we have lives, we have families, we have kids. They talked about talking to other offices in your area and maybe sharing a week of call for all your patients. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I thought it was something to consider. If you work in an environment where you're friendly with the other neighborhood area surrounding docs, or you have multiple doctors in your location, that's super easy. But try to mitigate the time you have to be on call, but maximize the access of care that your patients have. Another thing that they talked about was ophthalmologists are not increasing over the next 10 years. This is an awesome time for us to get heavily into medical optometry. Again, I love glasses and contacts, but glaucoma, macular degeneration, cataracts, they're going to be prevalent. Make sure you can take care of these patients and that you're set up for success in the future. Get that OCT, get the visual field. You have to work towards it because it's not going to happen the moment you open up your office unless you're buying an office. So plan for it accordingly and you'll be better off in the long run. Two cool clinical treatments that I thought they outlined. One, for dry eye, they're not a huge fan of Xiidra or Restasis. I'm not either, merely because when the patient goes on it, and they're on it for life. That's kind of hard to tell a patient, I'm going to put you on this drop, and you're not going to stop taking it for the rest of your life. Not a lot of people are excited about that. And in addition, they're expensive. So you have to talk them into, you're going to do this for the rest of your life, it's going to be expensive, and it takes some time to work. They talked about just eliminating the inflammation. So for that first month, give them a steroid 4 times a day for 2 weeks and then 2 times a day for 2 weeks. Also add a lipid base, artificial tear, and an omega-3 fatty acid supplement. They said once you eliminate the inflammation, they've had great experience of managing the dry eye. I think that's worth trying if you want to do what's best for the patient in the long run. The last thing I thought was interesting was called, I'll call it a fornix sweep. So if you have a patient that has a really, they're persistent about telling you that there's a foreign body in their eye, you can't find it, you flip the lid. They talked about numbing the eye, having them look down, pulling the lid down, and then taking a Q-tip and kind of sweeping the fornix. Obviously they're numb and you put ophthalmic gel or ointment on the Q-tip to lubricate the area, but that's a good way to try and get foreign bodies out if you can't find it. So overall, I think it's worth reading. If you can't read it, these are the things I thought were most relevant to us and how you can apply them to a primary care office. Check it out. I think it'll help you out. All right, my friends, it's time to take a little trip down memory lane. So I graduated from ICO in 2011 and I thought I was going to go and work at LensCrafters. Didn't work out. Serendipitously, I opened up a practice cold in Allendale, Michigan. Best decision I've ever made in my life. Now, was it the smartest? Probably not at the time. It worked out well for me. But when you start an office cold, you just want to have patience. You want to survive. You want to make it to the next day. And guess what? it doesn't go gangbusters from the get-go. We had a lot of blank space and a lot of time to fill. So when patients did come in, basically, if they would come in, whatever they wanted, I was going to try and do it. Punctal plugs, when it wasn't probably the best option, but they wanted it, sure, give it a try. People that had chronic dry eye, they could never get treatment anywhere else, I'd give it a shot, I'd try to treat it. You name it, I wasn't going to say no. I tried to build my office that way. Probably not the thing that has made me get to the point that I am now, but it was a start. It kind of is how you have to go when you have no one else to come in. So you see what you can see and you go from there. From a business perspective, something that I've always wanted to do was add a niche. Okay, whether it's dry eye, vision therapy, disease, you name it. I wanted to have something where I could sit back and say, this is what I'm an expert in. Yes, I do glasses, contacts, red eyes, but you come to me from other areas because I'm so good at this. I can go to lectures, I can lecture on it, I can become a fellow of the Academy of Optometry because I do this so well. Let me tell you, this is not easy, okay? You have to have a patient population that fits your niche, and then you have to like the niche. I thought you could just say magically, this is what I want to do, and it would magically happen. Unfortunately, that's not my experience. If you have a better way, send me an email. Let me know. I want to know what it is because I did something wrong. So let me walk you through the issues I ran into with all the niches I tried to start. So dry eye. I have an average patient population that is around 30 to 36 year old, my main patient, right? They don't have a lot of dry eye and they're still at the phase where they can fight through it. Now give me time. I'll probably be able to set that up. And then in addition, the people that I did treat didn't get relief quick enough and didn't like the copays they had. So dry eye really did not work out for me. Vision therapy, believe it or not, I did some of this when I first opened. I had more time. It was actually pretty easy to do because I came right out of school. I haven't done it in years and I don't want to do it now. I thought it would be awesome because I could train my staff to do all the hard work, heavy lifting, and I just kind of screen them and then put the staff on them to train them. Again, my staff turnover has gotten better, but it's not to the point where I want to train someone and then have them leave. Also, that patient population is really hard to work with for extended periods of time, so it didn't really fit me. Now, I do have a sports background, so I thought sports vision would be good. I like the idea of working with professional athletes, college athletes. There's a huge university in Allendale, but at the same time, that takes effort as well. It also means dealing with the same type of patient population, but have a lot of parents that think their kids are going to the NFL or the major leagues, which also makes it difficult to work with. Just not my setting. I didn't like seeing what kind of patient would come in and try to do that versus the kids I wanted to help really couldn't afford it, or I was going to do a pro bono, which I still can do, but I don't think that's the profit-making center I was looking for. Ocular disease, as you heard earlier, I think there's a huge opportunity, but again, my practice is young. As I age with the practice, I'll have more opportunities, I believe. In addition, OCTs and visual fields are not cheap. If I'm going to put money into something, I want to get an ROI sooner versus later. I'm just not there yet. Now, scleral lenses are something I thought would be interesting because I figured I could draw from a larger area. However, have you ever worked with sclerals? They're stinking hard. One of my first patients, early cone, perfect for a scleral. He's 36, was the best man at my wedding, and athletic, talent. He can work with everything, not like a typical scleral where they're a little bit older, might have some dexterity issues. He couldn't get it on for the life of him. Bubbles all the time, just incredibly hard to work with. And then trying to work with insurance to get it paid sounds awful. Working with managed care plans to get paid a little bit easier. But again, being a good doctor, doing what's best for the patient, I'm not there and I don't have a passion for it at this point. Here comes myopia management and orthokeratology. They've been around for a while, at least Ortho-K has. Myopia management is hot and fresh. And myopia should be sending off alarms because this is what optometrists do. I'm excited about it. I think there's a huge opportunity. When you look at dentists, they found a way to squeeze the orange multiple times. They have multiple visits a year, and they have braces, retainers, orthodontics are huge. I think this is our braces moment. I want to learn as much as I can. I think there's a way to help patients have a better lifestyle. I also think there's a profit center in it as well. So it fits everything I'm looking for. A lot of ability to be an expert, to study, to draw from a large area, because not a lot of people are doing it just yet. It takes an expertise that we have, contact lenses, ortho-K, interior segment, not dealing with a huge amount of pharmaceuticals. There's atropine, but stuff that we can deal with. So I think this is cutting edge. I'm going to be hitting it really hard over the next few weeks, months, years. I'm going to take you on this journey with me, and I'll set up YouTube videos. We'll have class learning, whatever you need as I learn and have a roller coaster of experiences. I'm going to give you all the good, all the bad, take you with me, and we're going to make a myopia management practice and orthokeratology practice part of your office as well. I think I can get you just as jazzed up as I am, and we're going to revolutionize optometry and make every one of our patients' lives better. I hope you're ready. All right, it's that time of the show, my friends. It's the closing thought from DRL, Dr. Lily here. I've given this a lot of thought. I want you to know this. This message rings true if you're a student, if you're an optometrist. I don't care what you're doing. Listen to me here. You are not a number. All right, think about that. We've all went through optometry school. We've all went through undergrad. We are in practice now. You're not a number. This came up because one of my staff members' boyfriends took the MCAT, and he's still in that phase where he's like, don't tell anyone my score. Don't put it out there. I don't want people to know. Dude, you have a 4.0. You're going to be a doctor. If you're not going to be a doctor, you'll be whatever you want to be. You're going to be successful. That number does not define you. All right. When I was taking tours of medical schools, of optometry schools, I'd ask people giving me a tour, hey, what'd you get on the OET? What'd you get on the MCAT? I was asking because I wanted to be part of the group. I wanted to be in with you guys. And it's a huge number to get in, right? So it matters in that sense. But at the same time, students, doctors, future doctors that were in the program, they're passing classes, obviously. They're giving tours and such. One answer, they'd almost be sheepish or slightly offended that they'd even ask. You're not a number. If you have a private practice, don't worry about your gross. Are you treating patients? Are you doing the scope of practice that you want? That's what matters. Make sure you take a step back. I don't care if you're saying that I want a certain income, I want a certain gross, I need to get these grades. That's not going to last. That's going to fade quickly, and it's going to leave you wanting more. Because if you get what you want, it fades. And if you don't get it, you feel bad about a number. All right? Take a step back. Make sure that you know you are way more than any number, any grade, any evaluation that someone else can give. Find a way, look yourself in the mirror, and know what you put in every day, what you're doing for your patients, what you're doing for yourself, what you're doing for your family. That's what matters. You're not a number. If anyone out there is struggling with this, I hear you. It's taken me 9 years out of school to get to the point where I can confidently say, I know I'm not a number. It still is hard, but I know I'm not a number. How about you? Dr. Lily, out.
We want to thank you for listening to today's episode and hope that you found a pearl to apply to your practice. We believe as a community, there is much wisdom to be shared. So if you have questions, suggestions, or requests, we want to know. Feel free to reach out to us via social media and leave a comment or email us at theultimateodpodcast@gmail.com so we can make this podcast even better for you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and we'll catch you again next week.